Hi, I'm Rob Wright with CRN, and I am here with our cloud editor, Andrew Hickey, and we're here to talk about some recent news in the cloud industry, the cloud market. A lot going on there.
Andrew, cloud computing.
Cloud computing. Let's jump right into it. Let's start with Apple. Boy, I like Apple.
You do.
I do.
You're a big fan. What about them?
Well, they're having their Worldwide Developer Conference this week. And you wrote a little bit about how they have introduced the iCloud, which a lot of people, I mean, you've written about, a lot of people knew that that was coming. It is the replacement cloud service, I guess, for, it will take the place of Mobile Me.
Eventually.
So tell us a little bit about it.
Boy, yeah, you're right. It's been, everybody kind of knew it was coming, and that's why Steve Jobs and company held it for the last announcement of the opening day of the Worldwide Developer Conference. But iCloud is basically Apple's cloud service. Photos, documents, music, pretty much any digital content, digital data, now automatically, say I snap a photo on my iPhone, it automatically goes up to the cloud, and it's accessible from any of my devices, and it works for up to 10 different devices, and Apple guarantees it's going to work for iOS, Mac, and PCs.
Oh, interesting. So not just not, Apple devices.
That's what they say, and I guess from the music side, that's to compete with what we talked about last time.
We were
Amazon. Doing this Amazon Cloud Player and the Cloud Locker, but yeah, it's gotten some pretty solid responses. It's not going to be available fully until the fall, though. There's some music components for iTunes available now, with the iTunes update. And along with that, Apple is eventually going to kill Mobile Me, which, you know, started off as a real dog for Apple at the beginning with constant outages and connectivity issues and just struggles upon struggles. And then it kind of found its footing and became a decent cloud storage platform, and a lot of people used it. But the big difference, Apple said they're going to kill Mobile Me June 30th, 2012. So there's a little over a year to keep using it and make the transition. But what's cool about moving to iCloud is you'll be able to take everything you had with Mobile Me with you, that you know, .me email address. All of your contacts will transfer over, and iCloud will essentially be a more robust replacement for Mobile Me, and it's free.
What is so special about iCloud versus Mobile Me? And we've heard a lot of criticism of Mobile Me, not their finest hour, obviously. What's so different about iCloud? I mean,
There's more feature and function. You have more capabilities. The difference, really, the problems, it's yet to be proven whether or not iCloud's going to be totally different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, iCloud could very well suffer outages like Mobile Me did. I'm sure Apple is working to make those as minimal or non-existent as possible with their giant data centers they're building. But yeah, there's no guarantees that it's going to work smoothly when everybody cuts over. I think it adds, one of the things a lot of people were clamoring for was the music, the iTunes component of it, and that wasn't part of Mobile Me. And also, a lot of iCloud plans to offer consistent backups where each day over Wi-Fi it automatically backs up everything on your device to the cloud. Again, makes it accessible from other devices. So
it's a
more robust platform than they had with Mobile Me. Like, look at Mobile Me as training wheels, and then iCloud, you're taking them off and riding on your own.
Okay, it's interesting. I would have expected that iCloud would only be available or compatible with Apple devices, but
yeah, so they say. And again, the proof is in the pudding. I haven't had a hands-on experience with iCloud yet, but the words PC were muttered, so hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, and I just reading the coverage that we've had, and other outlets have had of WWDC, is that Steve Jobs is basically saying the PC is dead and that this is going to, you know, change not just iCloud, but just cloud in general is changing, you know, how we look at these devices.
It is. And he has a point, and, you know, iCloud's a good step in actually separating yourself from really needing devices. Now that you can access your content from 10 devices, you don't really need the 10, and you can pick and choose. You're free to do what you want to do. Personally, I don't see the PC going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, why is the MacBook going to live on if the PC is going to die?
Right.
It's just user preference, but... Steve Jobs seems to notice trends before I do, so I'll give him a little credit there.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of people have said that one of their issues with Apple mobile devices is that they don't have a lot of storage, and they don't have local storage. Whether it's the iPad or, you know, a MacBook Air, it's limited. And it's, I mean, you're using solid-state drives, so, I mean, obviously you're not going to have a ton of space on them, but a cloud service like that can... certainly alleviate that issue. It'll just be interesting. I mean, can you imagine if this comes out in the fall and people are using it to supplement their storage on a Motorola Zoom or, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting.
It's a question. It's a question about the compatibility. And it should also add, you only get 5 gig free.
Yeah.
Aside from, and that doesn't include like the apps you paid for, some of the photo features and some other things, but you get a general 5 gig cloud locker basically to keep your goods.
Now I'm looking at Apple's cloud strategy. I mean, and you've written a lot about this. Is this, you know, I mean, they're a consumer focused company. This is going to be for consumers, targeted at consumers for the most part. But do you see some business adoption there? I mean we go to events now, we see tons of people using iPads, so why would this be any different?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of business capabilities here, especially from the, you know, the iWork standpoint, being able to take just an iPad to an event or on the road, be able to write and edit documents, not have to worry about saving them locally. You know, say you have the smallest amount of storage on your iPad, you didn't spring for the 64 gig when they first came out. You have more space available to you, so you can get more done. I think it'll, yeah, it's definitely consumer heavy, but as with any Apple product, you know, the iPhone was a consumer device when that first came out too, and you can't go anywhere without seeing them within in the enterprise. So
yeah, they're everywhere, much to my chagrin. No, not really.
I'm also disappointed that there was no new iPhone at WWC this year. This is the first time since the iPhone's been introduced
that there hasn't been
been a launch.
Well, you know, they had an antenna gate, so they're maybe still.
I thought the Verizon deal had something to do with it. Now they're going to stagger their releases a little more.
It may. I mean, they are releasing the iOS 5, so maybe they're focusing more on software rather than hardware updates.
Going back to the death of the PC, which, you know, Steve Jobs mentioned.
That hurt, by the way, when he said that.
I do want to add that, you know, I while I said I don't think PC will, you know, collapse and die, the PC is changing, and I think a really good example of that, if we take a step back from Apple, is the Google Chromebooks.
Yeah, sure.
They're just going to be these low-storage dummy terminals that use an OS to go out to the cloud and fetch apps and store data, and I think that's going to change the PC as we know it.
I agree, but don't you think it's a little... I mean, this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around. It's so odd to me that we have so many new devices, and we have so much... I mean, storage capacity, you know, years ago, you're talking, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, nobody had a terabyte drive. No. I mean, the enthusiast that could spend hundreds of dollars had a terabyte drive, but... You know, we didn't envision that being a necessity at this, you know, so soon for us. And the prices are coming down for things like, you know, memory and
look storage. How much a thumb drive used to cost.
I know, exactly. Yeah. So there's so much more capacity. There's so many more apps. There's so much more software. So much more, you know, power that you can harness as a user. And just your smartphone. We're talking about dual-core smartphones now, let alone dual-core PCs. I mean, I just built, you know, I talk about this all the time. I built a new PC. I've got 8 gig of RAM in there. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me that we have all these tools at our disposal, and we're actually, it feels like we're almost dumbing down the devices. You know what I'm saying? And not just mobile devices, but now you're talking about some, you're talking about some notebooks that are essentially desktop replacements that, you know, barely have any functionality. They're like netbooks.
Yeah, they can't do anything without the web.
And they're going to be, that's the thing, they're going to be so dependent on the web and on cloud computing that they're going to have no sort of, they're not going to be independent devices. I mean, do you see, are we going that way? Because that scares me.
It's going to take some time.
I don't like this direction.
There are going to be people who you have to pry their desktop from their,
that's
from their
be
cold
me.
Dead hands.
That's going to be me. No one's getting their hands on my desktop.
Well, you just built it.
Well, that's true.
But yeah, it could eventually go that way when pretty much every service is delivered in the cloud.
Yeah.
It'll take a long time.
Yeah.
And who knows what's going to come along in the next 5 years that could change the whole cloud marketplace.
I don't know. I
mean, we might not even be calling it cloud computing.
I mean, maybe if storage and the capacity and the price were shrunk to the point where, you know, it was almost an afterthought, then, you know, we wouldn't be relying on sort of uploading everything to the web and being dependent on cloud services. Speaking of being dependent on cloud services, I mean, this, we can't talk about cloud without talking about the outages and the issues and everything. And I mean, it doesn't seem like any of the things that happened over the last month or two have really slowed interest down.
No. And if anything, you know, I just came back from the Ingram Micro
Sure.
Cloud Services Summit in Phoenix. And one of the main themes of that was you can't let these kind of things slow down adoption. Physical IT assets crap out all the time.
Sure.
They don't work. They die, they fizzle out, there's outages, there's downtime. I guess it's just sounds a little more scary because this is new and this is supposed to be a way around that.
But yeah.
It's not. IT systems will fail. They're going to fail.
It's just interesting to me, like you said, it's for cloud services, I think a lot of people get the impression, and I do too, that it's like upload your stuff. Don't worry. Upload your stuff to the cloud, and we'll take care. You don't need that headache. And when in fact the headache really isn't going away completely, you're still going to have issues of not being able to reach your data at times. I mean, it's like any service. You can't control. Like if there's a grid failure or something, and a data center goes down. I mean.
Well, one of the decisions. Yeah, but one of the keys, one of the key takeaways from that Ingram summit was you have to design for failure. I mean, mm-hmm. If you're a solution provider and you're selling cloud solutions to your customers, or if you're a customer buying cloud solutions, you have some redundancy there. You have some kind of failover. You have something in place that if I'm on Amazon's cloud and something happens in their Virginia data center, well, my data better kick over to the one in California.
Sure, sure.
So I stay up and running, or the one wherever it is on the West Coast. It better, I can't, if you really can't afford to not have access, then you should be paying to ensure you do.
Yeah, yeah. So what, speaking of Amazon and cloud services, there was an issue, I guess, recently with Sony, where Amazon's cloud service EC2 was implicated as hosting, I guess, some of the attacks that were performed on Sony PlayStation Network, Sony Online Services. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not. It sounds like it hasn't.
It has, as far as I know, it hasn't. But it has been. It's why it's out there, and it's pretty
sure.
Well, it's thought that some of those attacks were perpetrated on Amazon's infrastructure.
The accusations may have some merit.
Right.
But one of the things that has been shown, apparently by Kaspersky, is this report that one of their experts came out with saying, hey, there's malware in this environment. There's malware being hosted.
Yeah, yeah. Kaspersky researcher, which he came out with a report earlier this week, late Sunday night, actually, saying that he's uncovered several malicious, I guess, several pieces of malicious code that can be used to steal financial data or hijack Windows Live IDs, oh, things like that.
That's good news.
Mostly in Brazil, to steal from Brazilian banks, but there were a few international banks as well.
Right, it was coded specifically to attack.
But there were, you know, 7 or 8 different scenarios of things, sure, they could take from you.
Great.
And it was, you know, it happened to be hosted on Amazon's cloud.
Hmm. Now, is this a situation, like, when I read that, the first thing that came to mind was, like, you know, like the Android App Store or even the Apple iTunes, you know, with the App Store, with writing applications and code and uploading it, and there not being enough safeguards for, you know, these companies to sort of prevent malware from being uploaded and then having unsuspecting users to pick it up. I mean, is that a false analogy, or is that something close to, you know, what's going on here?
Well, I think people are hosting the code on a malicious site,
yeah,
probably is how it's working. Mm-hmm. And somebody goes, when you're the size of Amazon, it's probably impossible to
check everything, yeah,
to have enough safeguards in place, especially when malware writers are pretty much a step ahead of every safeguard that's,
yeah,
out there. But the thing that's scary about this particular set of circumstances is, according to Kaspersky, they brought it to Amazon's attention, and several hours later, nothing was done, and those links were still active, and people could be victimized. And
right.
That was, and one piece I read after the fact said it was 48 hours before anything was even done, and that was, nothing had been done at that point.
That's a long time. I mean, and that's a sensitive issue for you and I, because not too long ago, you and I, and during the same week, I think we were subjected to some malware and had our systems go down,
yep,
for about a half a day and caused a lot of headaches.
Yeah, it's... you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are these guys, are the hackers and the cyber thieves, cyber criminals, whatever you want to call them, are they taking advantage of the cloud opportunity, or does it not really matter? I mean, they could be hosting this.
They can anywhere. Be hosting it anywhere. I think cloud is just a new place for them.
Yeah. Huh.
That's the difference. You know, they hosted it on servers somewhere.
Sure.
Before, and now they're just hosting it on
someone else's servers.
And it's just a new way to go about it. It's not that the cloud itself is unsafe and designed for,
sure,
people to do this. It's that if there's a new way, they'll find it,
yeah,
and leverage it to their advantage, and that's how they work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's switch gears here. There's some more cloud news we want to get to. Interesting announcement from HP.
HP, yeah, it is, and it's Discover 2011.
Not a space shuttle.
Discover.
Wait, Discover is the space shuttle, isn't it?
It's at the HP conference in Vegas.
HP
right now.
Discover, yeah.
They announced a new financing initiative where they're flagging up to $2 billion in financing dollars to make those available to customers looking to build out their cloud infrastructures to alleviate some of the initial overhead costs,
mm-hmm,
involved. Because one of the big draws in cloud computing is that it eventually saves you money, but you do have to put money in to get started. And,
right,
and HP is pledging $2 million to be able to finance $2 billion worth of cloud for their customers. And
billion.
And $2
billion. Wow.
And that's,
okay,
that's a nice...
Billion.
That's in a way, yeah, when you're talking about a market that's going to be, you know, in the hundreds of billions in a couple of years, that's $2 billion's a nice chunk.
Yeah.
But it should serve to help a lot of people get started.
Do you think that, do you think that that's going to be enough of an incentive for some companies, or is the incentive already there? I mean,
well, the incentive's already there. It's nice to know that I have financing options, so,
right,
I won't have to buy all of this gear up front if I'm doing a private cloud, or I won't have to pay all of this money up front, and I can stage out my payments over time and, you know, get attractive interest rates and things like that. it's a nice way to do things.
Right.
And it's also, I mean, part of cloud computing is that it's an annuity business. You make monthly payments. It's like paying the electric bill, is the saying. So, you know, you may as well start off that way with, you know, a financing plan or something along those lines. But, yeah, it's a good idea, and I would expect more of the big players to follow suit and start doing cloud-specific financing.
Well, that was my next question. Has there been any other vendor that has done something like this?
I can't say for 100% sure, but this is the first I've heard that it's really cloud-specific. Everybody has their financial arms that do financing, and I'm sure it's been used for cloud, but I've never seen it billed as just, we're going to flag X amount of dollars and make it just for cloud.
Yeah, it's interesting, because when I read that, it seemed like something almost a distributor would do, yet the distributors seem like they are going in a different direction where they're becoming almost more, I don't want to say service-oriented, but they seem like they're helping their VARs do cloud assessment, helping them kind of...
I think you're right in saying it's service-oriented. I think that's a fair statement.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Ingram Micro story right now.
Cinex is doing something similar. Yeah.
And they're putting, you know, the mechanisms in place to give solution providers the ability to tie together these services and offer them out to their customers. So, yeah, that's a fair assessment.
So what, I guess, as it stands today, I mean, we talked to, I guess it was almost 2 months ago now, about the Cloud 100 and just about the movement in the industry and sort of the division between public cloud versus private cloud. Does it seem, the guys that you talk to right now, that they are going more private cloud?
For the most part, yes. It depends on what side. The bigger guys that are coming from the data center standpoint and the ones that are coming from, you know, dealing with a lot of big iron and doing that, they're doing the private cloud deployments. The smaller guys are looking more on the SaaS side, more on the, you know, productivity apps, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little bit of everything. I think, you know, private cloud is going to be the way a lot of big companies do it for a little while until they get comfortable with kind of a cloud environment.
And then they can kind of get their feet wet and learn how to scale from there, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways to, you know, create these hybrid environments where, you know, I keep the crown jewels in-house on a private cloud while my email's Gmail in the cloud, or my, you know, or any of the various Microsoft services or any of the various, well, Office 365 is going to be a good example of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good way to start getting people accustomed to cloud computing. And that comes out this month, apparently. Yeah.
Have you talked to many folks about that? I mean, does it seem like there is going to be a real sort of rivalry between Office 365 and Google Apps?
I think so. I think it's really going to play out from a feature function standpoint at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Google and Google Apps have had really, really great success and have been getting in a lot of good accounts. And their partners that I talk to are very pleased with how it's going. It's really tough to shake the stranglehold that Microsoft has with Office when it comes to productivity apps. So, and if Ed Moulton, our test center chief, is any indication, he reviewed Office 365 and gave it very high praise. So.
A lot of people I know that I've spoken with that have used the beta seem very impressed with it. It seems like they think it can give Google Apps a run for its money. So
it'll be interesting to see, and I'm sure Microsoft will have a lot of good campaigns once the product launches to making comparisons.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, but I think it'll be in... Those are some of my favorite stories to write, the Microsoft versus Google ones. So hopefully there'll be plenty more of those going forward.
It'll be a fertile field for you to... I guess then the last question, just to bring it, I guess, full circle with Apple and its cloud strategy. It seems like Apple has a very, very different cloud strategy than its two primary competitors in Microsoft and Google, which are going very heavy on the app side. Whereas Apple seems to be making more of a focus on the service side. Do you think there's room to do both.
Sure, and I think Apple's going to do both. I think
you think eventually.
Right now, with iCloud, you can save your documents, pages, whatever they, you know, stuff in the iWork suite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's to say that Apple's not already working on a cloud version of iWork that's just a strict cloud version?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll both be able to live in harmony.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, not too much harmony, because we like the rivalry stories.
Sure. Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's
when they butt heads and trash talk.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I appreciate the time, Andrew.
No, I appreciate you having me here.
I love talking about cloud. And we'll have you again on soon, I'm sure, because there's tons going on in this market.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Rob.